Matthew 27, verse 33, and having come to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they gave to him to drink vinegar mingled with gall. And having tasted it, he would not drink. And having crucified him, they parted his clothes amongst themselves, casting lots. And sitting down, they kept guard over him there. And they set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then are crucified with him two robbers, one on the right hand and one on the left. But the passers-by reviled him, shaking their heads and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou art Son of God, descend from the cross." From verse 57 of the same chapter, "Now, when even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea, his name called Joseph, who also himself was a disciple to Jesus. He, going to Pilate, begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be given up. And Joseph, having got the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn in the rock. And having rolled a great stone to the door of the tomb, went away. But Mary of Magdala was there, and the other Mary sitting opposite the sepulchre." And then read in the next chapter, chapter 28, from verse 2. "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord, descending out of heaven, came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his look was as lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became as dead and as dead men. And the angel answering said to the woman, 'Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, the crucified one. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and say to his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goes before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Behold, I have told you." And just one verse in Romans chapter, I think it's chapter 10. Romans 10, verse 10. "For with the heart is believed to righteousness, and with the mouth confession made to salvation." The gospel message comes to each one of us as sinners and gets us on the way as saved sinners, if it is received. And I think that one of the most affecting things to consider is the person of our Lord Jesus. The measure of each one of us is limited compared to his person. And my measure in speaking of the Lord is limited. But if you look unto his person, you can have a glimpse of the perfection and the completeness of his person. And I think that is very sobering to present the gospel looking to the Lord what he underwent when he was here. We have here the Lord on the cross, the Lord in the sepulchre, and the Lord risen. So we have his suffering as a perfect offering to God in our stead. We have his real entrance into death, and we have his victory in resurrection. This is the Lord that saved me, as he saved you. Do you believe on him? Do you believe on Jesus crucified? On Jesus dead in the sepulchre, and on Jesus risen? You know, he was God, and he is God, creator of all things. He should have never gone into death. He chose to do it. I have the power to lay down my life. That was his choice, his power. But why did he have to do it? I said that the message comes to us as lost sinners. Why are we sinners? And why are we lost? We are sinners simply because we are born in sin. And the first man sinned, and we haven't done anything different from him. You know, he disobeyed God's word, and therefore he entered into sin. And we know, if we look into ourselves, we know what sin means. We know how we deserved condemnation. You know, God said to him, if thou shalt do that, thou shalt eat of that fruit, thou shalt die. And what did Satan say? He said, it's not true. This is the origin of everything, and that is in our sinful nature. So God, in his immense grace, provided a precious sacrifice. You know, the sacrifices that are contained in the Old Testament are just an example. But they were just for that occasion, and then they had to be repeated. But God provided in the Lord a perfect sacrifice who could really take away all the condemnation that was on the creature. But what is the condition? The condition is that we believe. So my question is, do you believe in Jesus the Lord? He is our Savior. He is available today as he was there on the cross that day. Think of the terrible situation here. I mean, they were they had with them the Lord of glory. They didn't acknowledge it. They just condemned him as a malefactor. Think of it. The depth of this injustice, the human way of acting against the Lord is all registered here. All the Gospels register it. Matthew is very accurate. He goes into the details of how they really were in opposition to the Lord by spitting upon him and beating him and not accepting who he was. And therefore, they gave this condemnation, and the cross was brought, and they reached to this place, a place of a skull, and they tried to give him a drink, and the Lord wouldn't receive that. He was just going ahead in the sacrifice without any human resource. And he was going to face all that was had to be upon us, upon you, if you don't believe. If you believe, it is taken off. But if you don't believe, it is still on you. This is the seriousness of the gospel message. It is a simple message in a way, but it is a very deep one. If you don't accept it, you are lost. If you accept it, the sacrifice has been taken and performed by the Lord himself. And that was on the cross. Cross of shame, cross of condemnation, but a cross of beautiful grace for you and for me. So they even wrote an accusation. This is Jesus. Think of it. The King of the Jews. They were trying to place him in a human sort of frame. That is what their purpose. But that was the Lord Jesus, God in himself, that was there. And so he even had the shame of all those that were passing by, and they said something awful. They said to him, practically what they were saying to him was that thou hast the power to come down from the cross, why don't you do it? That is what they told him. And they didn't understand that he couldn't do it because of you and me. If he had descended from the cross, he could have even not gone upon it. He could have refused everything. But where would we be without our Savior crucified? He had spoken about destroying the temple in 3 days. They couldn't understand what he meant. He wasn't speaking of the building. He was speaking of his own person. They couldn't destroy him. They couldn't do anything of what they thought. But the Lord accepted all this treatment. And he proved that in 3 days, what he has said was really performed in a perfect way. So here is your Savior. Do you believe on him? He is for you tonight. I don't know everybody in the room, so I can only speak for myself. I know that I had to accept my Savior in order that the sacrifice that he really had on the cross could be for myself. And I commend it for you as well. Now, when we go a bit further on, we find that there was somebody who was concerned about his dead body. Sometimes I wonder why the scripture is so accurate about relating about the Lord dead, you know. There were people there who really saw that the Lord was dead, human, as a human person, I mean as a body. That was a dead body. And this man was prepared to go and seek for his body from Pilate. We know from another gospel that Pilate was quite astonished that things had gone that way. Pilate didn't know that the Lord had the power to lay down his life, and he had done that. He had done it before the malefactors that were there, of course, and they took time, the normal time of this cruel condemnation of the cross, but the Lord laid down his life. And so this man had to deal with the dead body of the Lord. It was put in a sepulchre, that is where all dead bodies go, in a sepulchre. It wasn't different from any other one, and it was stated and witnessed that the Lord was really dead. And this is important, you know. It's very important, because if the Lord doesn't come before, you are going to die. I am going to die. And this, so that is where the Lord has gone before me. I'm not going into a state that hasn't been known by the Lord. I'm not going into a state that hasn't been overcome by him. And that is the comfort for the believer. You know, he, as dead, was there in that sepulchre. And this man, Joseph, this disciple, he put the stone on the sepulchre, so everything was according to what had to be. And the governors and so on, they even put a watch on that sepulchre. But obviously the watch didn't work. Nobody of those that were there were aware of what was going on. They invented some sort of bribing to the persons in order that they might say that the disciples had taken him off. But the dead body of the Lord was there until the power of resurrection came into action. And therefore, I commend to you to consider Jesus on the cross and Jesus' body in the sepulchre. He obviously isn't there now. He wasn't there after 3 days. These women went there and they witnessed to this wonderful event. I don't think they found it very wonderful. They were quite afraid. There was an earthquake. The sepulchre was empty. Something that wasn't according to the custom. It was completely different from the custom. But in God's mercy, there was this heavenly messenger that spoke to them and explained to them what had happened. And he said not to fear, but he knew that they had gone to seek for the dead body of the Lord. And he says a wonderful thing. He says, he is not here. So he had been there. He is not here. So with all the human reasoning one can apply, there is no way you get out of these scriptures. They are there as a perfect and complete witness of what the Lord has done. He is risen, as he said. You see, it is stressed, the fact that the Lord said what would happen, and it really happened. And this is still happening today. What God's purpose is still happening. Is it happening in your soul? Are you affected by the story, by the presentation of the Lord in his sufferings, in his death, and then in his resurrection. You know, the Apostle Paul underlines very tells us that hadn't the resurrection happened, we would be the most miserable of all men. The resurrection was divine power that was displayed in that event. The Lord of glory couldn't lay there. The Lord of glory showed his power in coming out of death in triumph. He had settled matters for God. We sang in the hymn that the man that God desired, what God desired in men was completely done by our Lord Jesus. So the gospel goes to souls that in which God is working. Is he working in your soul? Are you aware of God's work in giving you the possibility of believing in Jesus as Savior, in Jesus as Lord, and in Jesus as God? You know, he is that person and is really presented today, in our day, still as he was there in the power of resurrection. So what we really need is the conviction in our hearts that we need Jesus, because we are lost. That is why the Apostle says that with the heart, as we read here, for with the heart is believed to righteousness. You know, we have to do with a righteous God. He's holy, perfect. He can't bear any sin. There is not a major sin or minor sin for him. The smallest thing, even disobedience in a child, is a sin. And he can't bear it. So righteousness is his own feature, one of his own features. And that heart believes, the belief in the heart is to take account of God's righteousness. And therefore, if we take account of God's righteousness, we couldn't not take account of us as unrighteous, as sinners, as those who have need of the Savior Lord. And then he says here that with the mouth confession is made to salvation. Now, if you go to the Lord, you confess your sins, you say, Lord, I am lost, I am a sinner, he will save you. This is a very affecting message, you know, because through what the Lord has done, God is available for each one of us tonight. Now, I'm quite aware that there are those who have already believed. But I find for myself that thinking of the person of the Lord and what he has done and what he has gone through and the power that he has showed in his person confirms our faith and increases our desire to be attracted to his person. I commend this to you if you are a believer, and if you have not yet believed, here is the opportunity. We don't know what can happen in a moment, in an hour, in a day, in a month. We don't know. Our life is not in our hands. It is in the Lord's hands. And the Lord is waiting for each one to believe on Him as Jesus the Savior, as the one who has accomplished the work for me and for you, and for each one who goes to Him. So believe in the heart, and confession with the mouth. You see, the use of the mouth involves our responsibility. The heart is has to do with the affection. We are attracted to the Lord, and we can, taking account of the righteousness of God and taking account of His mercy, we can therefore be attracted to Him and feel affection for Him. We have spoken about this before during the day. But the mouth involves you saying something, and what you say comes from conviction. Are you convinced before the Lord? Are you going? Are you going to express to Him what has come into your heart through His work? Do you accept that He has worked, He has offered Himself on the cross for you, that He has gone into death for you? He, the originator of life, has gone into death. Can you find something so completely illogical to human mind, completely unacceptable to our natural minds? It has been done because we needed His person as a blessed Savior. And then in the power of resurrection, He is available to give you life. And the life that He gives us is not exactly the life that we live daily in our bodies. It's something that is inside, and that can never be quenched, can never be exhausted. It is a life that comes from the Lord in the power of His person as God. I'm quite aware I've presented thoughts that are well known, but I trust that each one of us may be attracted more to the Savior. We think of our children, we think of our young ones. They need particular strength in the days in which we are. Everything is going against. The same picture in Matthew happens today. The Lord is not accepted, and God is not accepted. And therefore there is a lot of opposition, even something that really puts us to test when we have to do with it. But the Lord is the same. He's the Lord of power, Lord of grace and Lord of power, and He can act for each one of us. Only trust in Him, believe in Jesus, and have to do with Him in a personal way, for His name's sake. Amen.